Right, I'll invite you to please rise out of reverence for God's Word as we share our scripture reading for today. And this is also what Pastor Rasmussen will be sharing with us this morning. But Acts 2, starting in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and held all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. And at this time, we'll welcome forward Pastor Rasmussen. And again, if you haven't met him before, he's been serving for, quite a few years as the Director of Evangelism for the AFLC. I'm not trying to date you. But he does a wonderful job just bringing attention to the congregations of our calling to reach out with the good news of Jesus. And not only that, but then helping to equip us in carrying out that call. And that's what we hope he'll do with us here this week. So thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Your sanctuary is beautiful, and I love your cross. I don't know, did somebody make the cross or from here? Is that driftwood? That's gorgeous. I love it. Our congregation where I'm worshiping now, we're in the process of getting a more permanent worship setting, and we're getting a cross that's being made by, actually, Pastor Lennon Cornyn. He has a sawmill, so he's cutting out, and the ladies that were in charge of figuring out what we're going to have in the sanctuary, they wanted walnut. So we're going to have a walnut cross, rough sawn cross, but they're waiting it for it to cure. Or that's not exactly the right word, but dry. And so we don't have a cross in our sanctuary for a while, but it's going to be fun when it gets there. But it's really good to be here. I grew up in McHenry, North Dakota, which is probably straight east here, about, I'm guessing, about 130-140 miles, I suppose. People might know where New Rockford is or Jamestown. We're north of Jamestown, about 60 miles. So I say I'm serving my sentence in Minnesota. I lived in North Dakota. I gave up my driver's license when I was 47 years old, and I still have it. I don't have it framed, but I still have it. So it's good to be here. But let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the privilege of being in this beautiful sanctuary. Thank you for the finances and the ability you've given this congregation to put together this beautiful place of worship. Lord, as we look into your word today, I pray that we might focus on what you are telling each one of us, not what you are telling my neighbor, not what you're telling my spouse, not what you're telling someone who's not here, but Lord, what are you saying to me today? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I guess I have to be careful. I guess Willie Schopper's been leading a Bible study on this topic, but hopefully that I will, I told Willie he can straighten me out afterwards. So, and I forgot, I bring you greetings too from President Cornyn and from the Home and World Missions Departments, from the schools, from the youth department, from the Ambassador Publishing, from Ambassador Institute, Journey Missions, and I guess I'll beg for forgiveness if I've forgotten somebody. But as we look at our main focus is going to be on the passage that Pastor read this morning. But I think it's good for us to look at the few verses before that. we have this idea that Pentecost started on that day. But Pentecost was already a festival time. It's called a festival of weeks. It was, my understanding, 7 weeks after the ending of harvest. And so the people were all in Jerusalem for all different nations, okay? And so they came for a festival. And that's when God chose to allow what we call Pentecost to happen. Peter's message was very short. One of the things that in verse 23, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to follow along, to have your Bibles open. It said he was telling the people that were there listening to him that you nailed Jesus to the cross. Isn't that interesting? He's saying that to you and I today, too, that we, our sins, nailed Jesus to the cross. And then we look at verse 37. It talks about the people were cut to the quick, it says, and they asked, the people asked, what must we do to be saved? And verse 38 says, Peter says, repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the power, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting going on, and before we get to the passage where we're really looking at, it says, be saved from this perverse generation. Sometimes as I read the scripture, it really seems, well, is he really talking to the people of that day, or is he talking about our generation? That's the cool thing about scripture. It's living, and it applies to us today as it did back when it was actually written and spoken back in Jesus' day and before. As we look at these verses, 42 through 47, we see a beautiful picture of what God wants the kingdom believers to be like, okay? He wants us to have fellowship. The result of Pentecost, what we call Pentecost, was continually devotion to Christ. Isn't that interesting? It's something that he asked for us today. Have you experienced a Pentecost in your life? That is, are you a follower of Jesus? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you have been awakened, right? Have you been revived lately as you read through the Word? Have you allowed the Word to do work in your life? As we look at this this group of people, we see that one of the things that became very important to them in verse 42 was the apostles' teaching, what we would call Bible study. These new believers, these new followers had a appetite for the Word of God. They wanted to learn more and more and more. I've had the privilege the last few weeks to be discipling a man that's in a halfway house. He was in prison for about 10 years or so, and he wants to learn more and more about Jesus. He doesn't know the word inconvenience, but he wants everything he can. He wants to learn and learn and learn about Jesus. You can be praying for Ron. He's going to be seeing his mom for the first time in 15 years at Christmas, because he's been in prison, and before that he didn't have a good relationship with his mom, and he can't, right now he can't leave where he's at until like December 20th, and then he's free and he's going to go to Superior, Wisconsin to see his mom. It's kind of interesting that she never visited him when he was in prison either, so it's kind of an interesting situation, but he's looking forward to that. Getting back to the text, where is our appetite? I think about Ron's appetite. I think about these new believers' appetite. Where is our appetite for the Word of God? Is the Word of God, are we so much more advanced that we don't need to dig into the Word of God? The church grew like crazy back then. They loved to study the Word, and they couldn't keep it to themselves. They loved fellowshipping together, being together. Church attendance is really what that's talking about, coming together. Growing up, when I was growing up, I grew up in a little country church. If everybody was there on a Sunday, maybe all the members were there, it was probably 30, 35 people. Okay? When I left the farm to go to seminary, I took two-thirds of the Sunday school with me. There were only three kids in Sunday school. But people came early. I noticed that this morning here. A lot of congregations, people come at the last minute. I noticed there are a lot of people coming early here and talking and fellowshipping. That's great. And what are we talking about? Are we talking about what God is doing in our lives? And the topic for today is probably deer hunting, and I understand that for you guys that are hunters. But normally, do we talk about what Jesus has done for us this past week? What has he taught us? What is he doing? This morning, my devotions was on discipline in Hebrews 12, talking about the importance of discipline, and if a father loves his children, he's going to discipline them. That's something we don't hear about today, do we? It's an anti-discipline society, because if you happen to discipline your child, especially if you use corporal punishment and spank him, you could lose that child. The human services might come and take him away because you are abusing that child. And yet the scripture tells us the importance of discipline. These people love being together. There was a trust. There was an accountability, like accountability partners, just within the fellowship. Is that the way it is here? Can you trust one another? Or is it when you share a prayer request, it's a gossip thing? There needs to be that common understanding, that desire to love one another and pray for one another and encourage one another. These people loved coming together. They loved eating together. That's one of the most important things with a family. And it's really hard nowadays. I know it is. Even when I was in parish ministry, it was hard when our children were younger to get a meal together. But it's so important. That mealtime, it seems like it opens us up so we'll share. One thing about if you're discipling somebody, it's one of the things they say, sit down over a meal. Sit down over a cup of coffee or whatever. Because it's not just a Bible study. It's a relationship to help them understand what it looks like to be a follower. These people loved to pray. Maybe we have to stop and ask, what is prayer? What is prayer? If you've ever read the book by Ole Hullesby, Name Prayer, that name of his prayer, he says it's helplessness and faith. Faith in Jesus, but understanding our helplessness. As I think about prayer, really my definition is getting out of God's way and letting him use me. Not trying to do it on my own. So often we do something, don't we? And even in the church, we do something and ask God to bless our efforts. Something wrong with that, isn't it? Are we to know what God wants us to do first before we ask him to bless our efforts? Shouldn't we be asking him to tell us how he wants it done and to do it the way he wants to do it? If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to John 5:30. It's a verse that has really jumped out at me the last few weeks. But John 5:30, this is Jesus speaking here. We're talking about prayer. He says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. Now, this is God in the flesh speaking. Okay, this is God speaking. He said, I can't do anything on my own. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If Jesus had to ask his marching orders, how much more do you and I, mere human beings, need to be asking God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, what should we be doing? These people understood that in the early church. The result of Pentecost was also remembering what God had done for them, or is doing for us, I suppose we could say, but in that situation, what he was doing for them. He sent his only son. We know John 3:16, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his one son. I have four sons. Joe Average, he called himself, okay? Joe the Undertaker, I don't know your last name. He has three sons. I don't think he'd give up any one of them for me or any one of you. I have four sons, and I wouldn't. I wouldn't give them up. But Jesus, the love he has for his Father, obeyed his Father and was willing to be the sacrifice for your sin. These people knew it. They had heard it. Somehow they had heard it. And they listened. And what's interesting, we know Pentecost, they heard people from all different countries, nations, heard the gospel message, this message, in their own language, speaking in tongues, their own language. It was a language. It wasn't babbling. It was a language that happened in that day. So everybody could hear the word of God. Everyone there had found out about the word of truth. And they were very thankful that Jesus died and rose again. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? There's a lot of people out there that give assent to, yeah, he died for me. But they really don't apply it to their lives. Because there's a lot of people out here, maybe even here, within this building, that don't believe that Jesus loves them enough to die for them. There's something they've done in their life where they're not good enough. Boy, dear friends, there's no place in Scripture that says we have to clean up before we give our lives to Jesus, before we give our sins to Jesus and let him clean us up. He's the guy that washes it. From his blood washes us. So we're pure before the Father. There's nothing we can do to make us good enough, okay? Just understand that. Please understand that. If you want to talk about it after the service, I'd love to do that. Also, something that they talk about here, that there are mighty signs and wonders happened. You think about in verse 2 of chapter 2, here it says, the sound of rushing wind, the Holy Spirit came. Tongues of fire lit on top of the disciples. They were spirit-filled. The ability to speak in another language. There are many signs and wonders that happen today. Do you realize that? I think we don't see them because we don't look for them. I think of birth of a child. Even the birth of a deer. I think about Job. You think about in the book of Job where God talks about all the things that he does. You talked about deer in the book of Job and how all he had done in his creation. A rainbow, isn't that? That's a sign and a wonder, isn't it? You know, there's visions happening. But most of the time, those visions are happening in the Middle East to those who don't have the Scriptures, those who are in the Muslim countries. There's a lot of people coming to know Jesus over there. We don't hear about it. But there are, through signs and wonders. God is using it where people will listen to him. We don't need it here because we're way above them, right? We're technology. We're independent because we know all this technology. We can do all these things. The word of God isn't good enough. Then our eternity is going to be spent in a place that's not very nice called hell. There are many signs around us. Will we see them? And it's kind of cool as we look here at these, what happened that day. A huge evangelistic event without being planned. 3,000 souls came to know Jesus by that, what is it, maybe a 12-minute message. The Holy Spirit was working. And do we invite the Holy Spirit to come? Did we come this morning prepared? I remember, it's funny, but I remember one of my seminary professors talking about how his father prepared for worship. The night before, literally the night before, he would spend at least an hour or more outside, actually not outside, sitting in the outhouse. It's a place where he could be quiet, where nobody would bother him, I suppose. Think about that. But he prepared to receive the Word of God. And I think in my own life, if I don't come prepared, I don't get anything out of the message. I don't. When I come prepared, God blesses me, and he shows me probably something in my own life maybe I don't want to know, but he does. He works through that word because I desire to speak, him to speak to me. These people, these 3,000 people that came to know Jesus, the people who were already believers surrounded them. And they trained them what it was like to be a believer. Not classes. Not, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about here through fellowship, through eating together. We've already talked about through Bible studies, through prayer. They showed them as they walked along with them, like Jesus did. That Jesus' disciples, he showed them what it was like to be a follower, and they multiplied. If we look at the first church, first congregation, it grew and it grew. What does it say there in verse 47? Numbers were added daily. Daily to the kingdom. Why isn't that happening today? The result of Pentecost was a daily outpouring of God's love for one another as believers. These people continue to show God's love daily. They shared. And this was not communal living, friends. When people had needs, they were met. Okay? Real needs. I have a hard time living in Minneapolis because this year, it's amazing. Seems like way, way, way more people standing on the street corners with signs saying they're in need. They're homeless. And it's hard because it seems like every other, not quite that often, but a lot of intersections, way more than normal. People are out there begging. So what do you do? I don't know. I'm sorry. But when we get to know the people, that we see their real needs and we take care of them. That's what it's talking about. Their faith was filled with, and they did works. I think about this morning, as I got up early this morning, I thought of James 2:17. It says, "Even so, if it has no works, is dead. Faith without works is dead." So what are we doing in God's kingdom? Not for salvation, but because of it. These people were living it out. They were helping one another, people who had need. They lived their life. There was a lady that I got to know quite well. Her name was Daisy. In the Twin Cities, her husband was poured a lot of. He was the chairman of the Commission on Evangelism for many years. He's gone on to be with the Lord, and he was lovingly, I called him my boss. He was a mighty man of God. Before this thing happened, I'm going to share with you. They celebrated their 70th anniversary, maybe the 71st, but something like that. And Gene was, just after that, started having strokes, so he wasn't able to get around much anymore. And he dropped something on the floor. His wife, Daisy, had osteoporosis, and she also had macular degeneration, so she could see only out of the sides of her eyes. And he dropped something, so she bent over to pick it up. As she bent over to pick it up, she fractured a vertebrae because of the osteoporosis. Took her by ambulance to Methodist Hospital in the cities. I heard about it, so I went to visit her. Come walking in the room, she couldn't tell who it was by sight, but she knew my voice, and she said, "Well, hi, Jim, how are you today?" And we talked a little small talk. She said, "You know, I'm in the hospital, and I decided I needed to count my blessings every day." Okay, this lady that's under morphine, trying to get her pain under control, is counting her blessings. I was number 3 of the day, okay? So, that's better than, but then she said, "You know, when I was admitted, they told me that there were people here that were volunteers, and they'd help me with the things I needed help with." And if you ever knew Daisy, she would have a twinkle in her eye, and I know she had a twinkle in her eye when that was said, because when she was sharing it with me, she did. You know what I have them do? Read my devotions to me every day. And she said, you know, somebody new every day. They don't know anything about Jesus. I get to tell them about Jesus. Here's a lady that wanted to spread the word. She was suffering herself, but that didn't make any difference to her. And if you'd have known her, that's the way she was, whether she was in the hospital or not. You didn't get very close to Daisy without you hearing about Jesus. She loved the people. She loved people. It's really a picture of the first church. They loved each other. They talked about it. These people could not stop praising God. As they praised God and others heard, natural evangelism occurred. Most people hate the word evangelism. You know, new believers are natural at it. They don't know they don't know anything. So they tell everybody everything they know, and it's all that's needed for other people to come to know Jesus. Remember in verse 47, we already said that, but people came to know Christ every day. Why isn't that happening today? Have you ever thought about that? Why isn't it happening today? I wonder if back in that day, when somebody was saved, like one of the 3,000 or one of those daily people being saved, that they say, great, I'm glad you're saved, and we'll see you next Sunday. You think they just said that? Or do you think they surrounded them and loved them and talked to them and showed them what it meant to be a follower of Jesus? I'm sure they did. They prayed with them. They read the word with them. They ate with them. And they started training them, intentionally training them what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. What we see in the second chapter of Acts, we see the picture of an awakening. People who were church people, synagogue worshipers, I'm sure. Were awakened to who Jesus was. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for an awakening or revival in our community? Do you want Prince of Peace to be an Acts 2 congregation? Should be the goal of every congregation. I don't care whether AFLC or not. There's plenty of people around us that don't know Jesus. This is a question that needs to be looked at honestly and answered by each of you. The people in Jerusalem, were kicked out of the synagogue, probably disowned by their family. They were permanently transformed by God, and we find out that not long after that, because of persecution, they were scattered through the whole known world. But they didn't stop talking about Jesus. Heavenly Father, give us hearts like these people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.